Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church this morning. We've had a beautiful week and another beautiful day along the way. Let's take just a few moments and greet your neighbors and say hello to those you haven't seen in a while. Do we have any announcements this morning? Steve?
Saturday is our barbecue in Sergeant Bree. Barbecue and all the good stuff. So come in and enjoy.
Session meets tonight if you're a session member, Steve. And I guess that's it for this service.
I'm sorry, I'm reading through the announcements to see if there's anything else we need to bring to the attention. If you're going to attend Wednesday night, please be sure and sign, put your name on the little form inside the bulletin and drop it in the offering plate.
Middle schoolers are in Atlanta, be coming back today, so lift them up in prayer as they travel. Patrick and Chelsea are with them and
pray for them.
Pray for them, right. They're also they went to Winchester, teamed up with the Winchester middle schoolers also. So.
Okay. Any other announcements? Prayer and praise requests this morning? Okay, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for worshiping God. Amen. If you'd all please stand for our call to worship this morning, offering our praise to God. It is from Psalm 100, and it is responsive. It can be found in your bulletin. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Light of the world. Lord God, we have come to worship you. Lord, you have called us to come into your presence, to express ourselves before you, to shout before you, to come with gladness. Lord, you have invited us to come with joyful songs. We come this morning recognizing who you are, that you're God. You're our God, but you're not our God to be kept to ourselves. You're our God to be shared. Thank you for calling us to be your people. Thank you for sending Jesus to redeem us from sin and Satan. And thank you that we can come to worship you. And may it be, O Lord, in truth and in spirit. And we offer ourselves in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
Now time in the service that we state, we go through our statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed. It is in unison. It can be found on 716 in your hymnal or on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Call to confession this morning comes from Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Our prayer of confession is in unison, and it is found in your bulletin. Please join with me. We confess that we far too often want proof for everything, O Lord. We want proof that someone loves us. We want proof that we can trust in others. We want proof that everything in life is going to turn out all right. It is easy for us to point our finger at Thomas, who was honest about his fears. He had seen so much healing and hope. But those hopes seemed dashed when Jesus died. Even the news of the resurrection did not completely lift the darkness from his life. Jesus said to him, just as he says to us, Peace, be still. Do not doubt, but believe. Lord, forgive our unbelief. Forgive the many times when we think and act in ways which are hurtful and mean. Heal our wounds. Bind up our spirits in the cords of your compassion. Help us to fully place our trust in you with our whole hearts and minds and spirits and souls. For we ask this in your blessed name. Amen. Our words of assurance this morning. Peace, be still. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus came to bring you new life. Believe in him. Receive the blessing of hope and peace. Amen.
You'll turn to number 210.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Offertory sentence this morning is from Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Would our ushers please come forward?
Maybe you have your own seated.
Scripture lesson is about to be read, and we have four passages printed for you, and also the call to worship with Psalm 100. And if you will, as the scripture is read, if you will think of ways or mark ways that we are called upon to worship, or maybe reasons for our worship. Sometimes when the scripture is read, if it's not printed before us, if I'm in the congregation, my mind wanders. I don't know if yours ever does that or not. I just have trouble focusing to just the voice. But you have the printed word before you, and the ways that we're called upon to worship are the reasons that we are called to worship.
The first scripture lesson this morning is from Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor
of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. From Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And from Hebrews 10:19 through 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And lastly, from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
What did you find? What did you discover? One thing that jumped out at you. How to worship or why we worship. You want to share a thought? He is risen. Easter is not over. The church celebrates Easter until Pentecost Sunday, or we should. Sometime after Easter we say, well, it's over now. And Sunday afternoon last, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was thanking you. Thank you, Lord. 4 o'clock in the morning, get here at 6. Three services and a busy week before, but Easter's not over, and I knew it wasn't. We just took a little break. Even I think the disciples did. When the women met Jesus, the risen Jesus, Matthew chapter 28 verse 9, I believe it is, it says they held his feet, And they worshiped him. They worshiped him. They worshiped Jesus, the risen Savior. Not sure that they knew all about who he was, even at this point. But they were so glad and so happy that he was not dead, that he was walking. Now, I believe it's John. Jesus says, don't hold on to me, or don't cling to me. And we understand that to mean that we need to share Jesus, not keep him to ourselves. And hopefully, we will talk next Sunday about the church in mission. Us in mission, not holding Jesus to ourselves, or not just enjoying him ourselves, but sharing him with the world. That's the thought and the planning right now. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. There is nothing, and I say this emphatically, there is nothing that the church does that is more important than worshiping God. God, who is Father, who is Son, and who is Holy Spirit. We don't do anything that's more important than that. And probably, I'm guessing, I'm remembering or reflecting that we gather for worship more often than we do anything else. And until we have come to worship God, we're really not equipped to do anything else. And I have heard throughout my life, but I don't get anything out of it. Are we supposed to? We come to worship, to give to God. Give ourselves to God. Bow down before Him. So if you don't get anything out of worship, you're on the right track. Don't expect to get anything. But when we give to God ourselves, when we bow down before Him, we are blessed. We get something out of it. But sometimes we get it wrong. We get it backwards. We want something from God, and we are a receiving society, are we not? We are such a receiving society. But first, worship God, and the blessings will come. But we've already been so blessed. Let me say that. Forget not all of His benefits. Forget not all of His blessings that He has already given us. While we were yet sinners, Christ says, while we were yet alienated from God, Christ died for us. So we've already been blessed. Here I am to worship. Genesis chapter 12, verse 18. Do you have a Bible handy there? Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, verse 18? Genesis chapter 12 is where Abraham was called of God. And the first few verses, the first eight verses, is where God calls him. But verse 8, I think I may have said 18. Verse 8, Abraham, early on, when he was called of God to be the father of his people, who would be a blessing to the rest of the world, who would expose the rest of the world to God, or would share God with the rest of the world. That's what we'll talk about next week. But from there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched a tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. A worship experience. Building an altar. He had to build his altar. It wasn't there for him just to show up at. Somebody has to build the church, the sanctuary, the place of meeting. But there Abraham built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Then he set out and continued toward the Negev. Also in chapter 13, Abraham and Lot, and it's verse 18 this time. So Abraham moved his tents and went to live near the great tree of Mamre, M-A-M-R-E, at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. Seemed like everywhere he went, or at least the first two places we find him going after his call and given his orders, He built an altar. Why did he have an altar? To make an offering to the Lord, to worship the Lord. And then in 14, chapter 14, it is 18 through 20. He went off to war. He came home. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. That sounds like a communion service before Jesus instituted it, doesn't it? Brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, Melchizedek. And he blessed Abram. Abraham was still called Abram at this time, saying, Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, acknowledging who God is or what he has done. Creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High. Blessings to God. Blessed be God who delivered your enemies into your hands. He had been off to battle. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. That's where we get the tenth early on. Tenth is mentioned by Jacob giving an offering later on. Then the king of Sodom said to Abraham, he wanted to give him some money. Do we know what sodomy means or what the name Sodom is? We won't talk about it here publicly. But Abraham said, don't want your gifts. There are some gifts you just don't take. Exodus chapter 4. Verse 22, God's word to Moses. Chapter 4, verse 2. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2, if you're following with me. A lot happened between Genesis 12 or 13 and Exodus. About how many years? 400 to 600 years. And then Exodus 4, verse 22. The Israelites, descendants of Abraham, had ended up as slaves in Egypt. Famine had sent them off from that land that God put Abraham in, and they ended up as slaves in Egypt. And then God was about to release them. And he said, then say to Pharaoh, these are what the words that God said to Moses. And Moses was to go and speak to the Pharaoh of Egypt. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Or the Lord told me to say this to you. This is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go so he may worship me. The people were living as slaves in Egypt. They were working as slaves. They were making bricks, straw and mud, or straw and clay, and other things too, I am sure. But God sent Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go and worship you. Chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. After Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said what God had told Moses to tell them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go so they may hold a festival to me in the desert. It was called a festival in chapter 5. Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Pharaoh had no reason to worship God. He didn't know the Lord. Then he said, then they said, this is they being Moses and Aaron, his brother, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. Well, keep a reading and you'll see the Pharaoh said, you can't go worship. You got to work. You don't have time. You're lazy. It's all in there. And they were saying, we got to go or plagues will come upon us. We got to go worship God. And the plagues did come upon Pharaoh in Egypt. But God allowed the Israelites to escape the bondage. I'm not sure if I wrote too small or my vision is getting worse. How many ways have you found to worship? How many ways have you observed to worship? Let me say there are many, many ways to worship. We saw a video Wednesday evening. And some of you were here Wednesday evening. And did you see two people, I believe it was, in Colombia, South America? And they worshiped, part of their worship experience was just jumping up and down. Well, that's not unique to Colombia, South America. I saw it in Columbus, Mississippi, years and years ago. Went to a tent meeting and just kind of was driving around mid, and I guess my stepfather and his brother and was driving around and saw a tent meeting. We said, well, let's go. Went over, and part of the experience was in the singing, during the singing, jumping up and down. I don't know if they were keeping time or not. I can't remember that. Then, not too long ago, on a Sunday evening, I went and visited another church and of Pentecost orientation, and they, some people, mostly the middle school children, but one lady there was in high heels, pretty high, and she was past middle age, and she was with the teenagers or the middle schoolers, preteens maybe, and they were worshiping. I think they were really in the spirit. I think it was a valid expression before God. Now, if that happened here in Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church, what would we think? Don't punch a hole in the floor or something. Wouldn't we say that? Isaiah 6. We see Isaiah going into the temple. He even tells us what year it was. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and all the cherubim, seraphim flying around in the temple. Wow. It seemed like he was starting out just observing. Just observing. He went into the temple and observed this great experience. But then Isaiah got into it. And he says, Lord, I'm a sinful man here. All of my people that I deal with are sinful people. And God offered forgiveness to him and brought coals of fire from the altar and placed them on his lips and said, you're clean. And then he says, who will go? The Lord says, who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. Basically, our worship service for 20 plus years here, when I've been the pastor, is based on Isaiah's experience. Very loosely, I admit, but based on Isaiah's experience in Isaiah 6. Worship is more than preaching, and I have had to deal with this so much. People would talk about, long-term church people. They talk about the preliminaries to the sermon. And we would say, or I would say, but the confession is important. But the creed is important. But the prayers are important. But the singing is important. But they would still see everything but the sermon as a preliminary. And they say, if you get on through those preliminaries, you may have thought that way. And these were long-term church leaders. And I guess I remember it mostly from Madison. They didn't like anything. They wanted to get to the preaching, I guess they thought. I don't know what they thought. I didn't know if my preaching was that good, but maybe they were desiring it good or bad. But that's another story. Every part of the service, from the prelude to the postlude. I went to one meeting, it was a week-long meeting in General Assembly, and the worship leader instructed us early on, don't start leaving during the postlude. That is important too. Now, I had a little trouble with that, and I still do, but he is right. That music afterward. And one time here, I forget what the song was, but it was a rousing song, and people didn't know when to leave. I think that might have been the 10-15 group, but you may have been there. And the praise band was leading us, and people just stayed and stayed and stayed. And that was great. I was wondering when they was going to leave. I forgot that we should stay through the postlude. Service to God. A worship service. And Dr. Hubert Mara, one of my professors from the college, Bethel College, university now, he in writing one of his books, The Covenant of Grace, he makes a statement, we call it the worship service. We're offering a service to God. We're coming to say, we're serving God this way. And we hope that when we come to worship, God is pleased. It's not whether we are pleased or not. If you get right down to it, we think it is. Well, that didn't suit me too well. Well, I'm sorry. Maybe it suited God a whole lot. I'm more fearful of offending God or not pleasing God than I am of not pleasing the congregation. And I'm not being mean about this, but I think I've adjusted some things through the years at people's suggestion or request, or I've tried to explain the reason behind it as I understood it. What is Christian worship? It's an affirmation of God's living presence. Jesus said, wherever you meet, I'm there with you. Even if there's two or three of you. I believe he meets with just one of us, right? Two can meet together, but it's just us and Jesus. I think I referred a few weeks ago to the song, Me and Jesus Got a Good Thing Going. Just when us and Jesus, when you and Jesus get together, and you can worship him, his living presence, no other religion, no other religion celebrate a living founder, Savior, Lord, except Christianity. Christ rose. We're affirming God's presence with us. A living presence, not a dead person. And we are celebrating, hopefully, God's mighty acts. And each Sunday here, we try to put a call to giving, or an offertory sentence, I think we call it, to remind us of how good God has been to us. Forget not his benefits, I believe it said today. God is so good. God is so good. That's remembering his goodness. We are moved or motivated, hopefully, to give that others might know, and also that we might carry on the work here in this community. The mighty acts of God. What are some of his mighty acts? One of them is creation. God spoke and it came into being. Go back and read Genesis 1 and 2. formed the earth from nothingness. What a mighty act. You try to take nothing and make something out of it. There's an old story that I think Sam has told it often. Said that this guy was arguing with God about how that the God he was arguing with, he said, wasn't. Anyhow, the guy says, I can make something, God said, okay, go ahead and make it. He said, well, I can take some dirt. Give me some dirt. And God said, no, it's my dirt. It's my dirt. You don't have anything. So go ahead and make something from nothing. The Exodus. We mentioned the Exodus, the Israelites coming out of the bondage of Egypt. Wow. The virgin birth. What a mighty act. Nobody wants to believe it. People are still, 2,000 years later plus, still trying to deny it. The resurrection. There's still people trying to deny the resurrection and salvation. That sinful man could be redeemed and forgiven. We're not of a forgiving nature. People are not. We want to get back. But the mighty act of forgiveness, God forgives us. God sent His Son. How mighty is that? How wonderful is that? How caring is that? Wow, that He would not hold our sin against us, but He loved us enough and loves us enough to send Jesus, His only begotten Son, to die for us in our place and suffer before He died. What a mighty act it is. Psalm 29 speaks of God's mighty acts. Says in us responding to Him, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Holy. Do we comprehend? I don't think I can comprehend what holiness is. It's so much greater than even my comprehension. Sing to the Lord, the psalmist says in 96, a new song. Sing all the earth. We don't like new songs. But throughout the Bible, we're called upon to sing a new song. And then ascribe to the Lord the glory, do His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. And then Psalm 145. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. And I just mentioned what creation and redemption are, creation and resurrection and salvation, redemption. The Exodus. They will speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Well, that's worship when we just, that's private, individual worship, when we just sit and meditate on what God has done. I will proclaim your great deeds. And hopefully that's what I'm doing right now. They, people, will celebrate your abundant goodness, the psalmist saying to God, and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Jesus was being tempted by Satan. Away from me, Satan, he said. Satan was saying, worship me, worship me. Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and He talks about worshiping in truth and in spirit. God calls us as Christians to worship. Worship being an affirmation of His living presence and a celebration of His mighty acts. In worship, God claims us, and hopefully we respond. God offers to us in worship His love. Now, there are some churches you go in and you won't hear much about God's love. you'll hear a lot about how sorry the people are. I've tried not to do that. Even the days I was mad, a guy called me the other day or said, would you, for a class he was taking, trying to get ordained for the ministry, tell me how you choose your sermons. And I still remember way back yonder, I would choose my sermons based on what irritated me that day. I hope I never do that again. I hope I never do that again. It might slip in, but it won't be planned. What I was mad about, that was, that's not a basis for choosing a sermon. For me, and God offers love. He offers forgiveness. He offers guidance. He offers redemption. And hopefully we respond with praise and confession and thanksgiving and love and a commitment to service. Oh, hopefully we do. Hopefully we do. Worship includes proclamation of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He is risen. God loves you. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. John 14. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare that place for you, I will come again. On and over, there's a call to commitment, but first, there's God giving us, through His Word and through the proclaimed Word, the preaching, that God loves you. And then the celebration of the sacraments. The celebration of the sacraments. We observe the Lord's Supper, remembering what Christ has done for us. The worship experience should include the reading and the hearing of the Scriptures. If nobody hears, you had done much good reading, have you? This is for the reader. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through 11. Let me see if I can locate there here in some of the notes that I have here. Acts chapter 20. There was Paul was preaching. And he preached on and on and on. And one guy went and sat in the window. It was an open window. And he went to sleep. And he fell out of the window. And they thought it killed him. Now you could say that's a lesson to preachers. Don't preach on and on because somebody might fall out and get killed. You could also say it's a lesson to the person in the congregation. Don't go to sleep during the service. And especially if you're sitting in a window, an upstairs window. And it could be don't sit in windows when you're worshiping. There might be many things that you could deduce from that experience. But Paul preached on and on. There were many lamps in the room where they were meeting. Seated in the window was a young man who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. Even the guy falling out the window didn't stop Paul from preaching on and on. He had something to tell them, and he was about to go. He was about to leave them, so he preached on and on and on. Okay, celebration of the sacraments, praying, singing, committing life to God. Worship should be public and private. Let me go back to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority. So pray for our authorities. that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And a teacher of the true faith of the Gentiles. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2. And then he says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. I also want women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Worship. We have come to worship. Let us offer praise to God as we conclude this service of worship. I think it's number 66. To God be the glory. Would you stand with me? One and two. God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. And give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Thank you, Lord, and we pray that what we have done would be in order and pleasing to you in this experience together. Lord, what is not pleasing, we pray that you would bring it to our attention and cause us to not use it, but what is, we thank you for the privilege of being in service in your kingdom and unto you. Amen and amen. Be dismissed. Thank you, sir.
Should it be a little bit slower? No? We'll inform her. So, can you hear my voice a little bit?